Hi, my name is Frankie. Thank you for listening to Two My Mom. I never listen.
I'm trying to catch my breath. The glee and the excitement with which I've been jumping around about this next guest is unparalleled with anything that we've ever had on Nothing But Net to this point. And I say that knowing that we've already had Tom Izzo and Susie Merchant on here, and we've had C. Vivian Stringer and Jeff Walls and Vic Schaefer, and we've had Tara Vanderveer on here. We've had a bunch of podcasts already, BMAC, the producer extraordinaire. But this guest is every hashtag that I dream about in women's basketball. This guest is a shoot till your arm falls off freshman. This guest is a hashtag ticket selling player. And I'm talking about this player because I'm so excited about the future of where our game is. I'm excited about her, but I'm excited about where our game is going because of young women like her who have made a commitment to be the best they can be. And they bring it to our game, and it makes our game better. I'm talking about Caitlin Clark, 25 and a half points per game right now on the taping of this podcast, which is fourth in the nation in scoring. She's in the top 10 in assists at 6.5. I believe she leads the Big Ten. Caitlin Clark is a freshman at Iowa for Lisa Bluter, and she is a scoring machine. We have all heard about her. We have watched her. Well, now you're going to get a chance to meet her up close and personal through the Nothing But Net podcast with Debbie Antonelli. Take a listen. This is Caitlin Clark. Well, if you're listening to this podcast, then you already know how much I care about offense. I think of everything in circles. I think of everything in 360. I think about being offensive minded in everything that I do. And I'm so pleased to spend some time this afternoon with Caitlin Clark. She's a freshman. If you haven't heard of her, let me just give you a couple of things real quick. She grew up in Iowa, in West Des Moines. She went to Dowling Catholic, which is a powerhouse high school girls basketball program in the Midwest. She played for All Iowa Attack, which is a fantastic team and program in the EYBL. And there's been a lot of great D1 players that have come out of that program. Caitlin's 6 feet tall, and she's the point guard for Lisa Bluter's Iowa Hawkeyes. So, Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Caitlin, I want to break down a little bit from some of your past experiences. You know, you have so many accolades. We could spend the whole podcast talking about your brilliant background and all the things that you have won as an individual or a team. Instead, I want to dive right into this. I want to know, what was it like for you growing up in Des Moines in a place that I know cares about basketball? And when did you fall in love with the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think I fell in love with the game really young. It's like, I have an older brother, so whenever I was younger, I would just go to his basketball practices, and I was always dribbling around, and I have a younger brother too. So I was always playing against the boys when I was young. Like, that's what I did. I played in an all-boys league. My dad coached our team. Like, I was just super competitive, and my parents just didn't really know what to do with me, so they just threw me in with the boys. And I honestly give that a lot of credit to, like, who I am today. Like, I don't think if I played with the boys, I would be as good a player as I am, so.
Well, there's no question your brothers pushed you. In what ways did they challenge you? And was there ever a time where you went in the house complaining that they were beating you up?
All the time. I would cry all the time. They definitely never took it easy on me, especially my older one. They would beat down on me. And I have some boy cousins, too, that are older than me. They would always come over. We'd always be outside, and we'd have some injuries. I think it kind of drove my mom a little crazy sometimes, but it was all fun, but definitely some tears. But we're past that now. We're all each other's biggest fans, which is good.
Did any of those backyard brawls end up in the hospital emergency room?
Actually, I think it was the winter. We had like a little like Nerf hoop in the basement, and I was playing my little brother, and I just chucked him in the wall, and his head cracked open. And it was bleeding. He just like put his hand back, and he was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, Mom. And then my mom had to take him to doctors. Now he had like staples all in the back of his head. You know, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. So now we know what we're dealing with right here, Caitlin. You aren't taking any trash talk, no crap off anybody, right?
Right. That's right.
So your family, I read where 11 of your family members played college sports. I'm assuming that's men and women.
Yeah.
Just a little breakdown. Who played hoops?
I have an older cousin that played at Creighton, Audrey Faber. She graduated 2 years ago. And then I had another one that was a walk-on at Drake for a little while, but then she gave it up. And then I have an older boy cousin who plays at Rockhurst, the D2 in Kansas City area. And then one runs track now at SDSU, so South Dakota State. And then my brother plays football at Iowa State. And then another cousin plays football at Morehead State, which is a D2 school in Kentucky area, I think. So
yeah, that's right.
I'm probably missing a few, but I have a lot of cousins. My mom has 6 siblings, so there's a lot of us.
Are you guys all about the same age, and do they all follow you? And is there some sort of like major text chain that everybody gets on when they know you're playing and you're on TV?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of right in the middle, but I'm stuck between all the boy cousins. All the girls are either older, and then there's a couple younger ones. But I'm stuck between all the boys, which, again, like, they didn't take it easy on me, especially on holidays, like Easter egg hunts. Like, I wouldn't get anything. But yeah, we have like a Snapchat group, and we're all close with each other, and it's good to have them. So,
okay. So, I didn't want to jump too far ahead, but I do have to ask you this since you brought up your brother, Blake. I know he plays football at Iowa State. Did you guys have a little side bet going on? And then what was it like to hit the game winner in that one?
Yeah. I mean, he's not like that, and I'm not like that either, but Iowa and Iowa State haven't played in football yet since I've been here. So I haven't been able to talk any crap, but I honestly wouldn't. I'm his biggest fan. He's my biggest fan. So he was honestly just really happy I made that shot and happy for me to have that success. So,
yep. Blood is definitely thicker than the rivalry. That's for sure. Well, Lisa said, Coach Bluter said that she has been recruiting you since the 8th grade.
Yeah.
What was that like? And did you always know that Iowa was the place for you?
Yeah, I mean, when I was like in 8th grade, kind of even in freshman year, my parents like kind of helped with the whole recruiting thing just because they like, I'm an 8th grader. I'm what, 13, 14 years old. Like, they don't want me having to worry about that. Just be a kid for a little while. So honestly, I appreciated that. But yeah, they had recruited me for a while. And this is one of the first places I visited. I came to the Iowa Michigan football game. It must have been 4 years ago now, where they made the last second kick when Michigan was ranked pretty high. But no, like, I didn't really know it was Iowa right away, not really till it came down to my final three. And it was a really hard decision just because I had so many good options and they all felt like I could be successful at all of them. So it was difficult, but now that I chose Iowa, I definitely know that I'm in the spot I need to be in.
What was your college prep like to be able to come into the game at this level and to be able to produce right away? Like, I want to know, what were you thinking? Like, was it I'm going to be able to make all my times as soon as I get there. I'm going to be the best in the weight room. I'm going to be able to produce right away from the top of the floor and score and bring all these attributes that I bring. What was that like, your mindset stepping into it?
Yeah, honestly, like, just be myself. But just getting here in the summer, like, just building relationships with your teammates. And so you can build that chemistry so they trust you. I mean, I'm a freshman point guard. That's a big role. And you need to have trust between your teammates. So I honestly think that's a big one. But I honestly wouldn't say I was going to expect to score 25 points a game. Like, I honestly didn't think I would score that many. But scoring is part of my game, so I'm honestly not surprised in that area for sure.
Well, right now at the taping of this podcast, you're at 25.6 points per game, which is 4th in the country, and you're 9th in the nation in assists at 6.5. So when you start talking about shoot till your arm falls off or a ticket selling player, which are a couple of my hashtags that I like to talk about on the women's side, how do you put an offensive skill set together that allows you to come in and produce right away like that? Like, what's the journey like to get to this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, I started USA Basketball when I was probably, I think, after my freshman year of high school. And honestly, that just showed me a lot and a lot of things to work on. So I honestly give credit to that. And then I have a trainer that I work out with a lot, and it's a lot of off the dribble. You can't just be a set shooter if you want to be exciting and a great offensive player. So it's a lot of off the dribble stuff and being able to score at 3 levels. I think that's super important. You don't want to be one dimensional. That even goes along with rebounding and being able to pass the ball as well. So
I've read this about you. I've heard these words used to describe you: unselfish, a consummate playmaker, an offensive firepower. Which one of those resonates the most with you?
That's hard. I don't know. That's hard. It's hard to pick one because I want to be all three, for sure. And I think everybody has a little selfishness to them, and I think the great players even need to have that. But I think if you have that trust with your teammates, they know if you take a bad, like I'm still learning. If I take a bad shot, like, cause I had to take that shot in high school. So I'm still learning in that area for sure. But I just know that I can trust my teammates and put them in positions to score. But I have a lot of confidence on offense. And I think that that's what makes me great more than anything is that I trust my shot. If I miss five in a row, I'm probably going to shoot the sixth and the seventh shot. So.
Isn't that the way it should be for a shooter that's put in the time, that's put in the reps, that knows that you can make the next play? Isn't that where your mindset should be every time? How come most players don't think like that?
Exactly. I mean, I think it's more in the women's game more than the men's game. I just think girls sometimes just shy away from being confident and trusting the work that they've put in. Not even on in basketball, just in life. Like, just trust yourself, trust your confidence, and know that you've put in that work. That's why I go to the gym pretty much every single day after practice, just because I know I can fall back on that work that I put in every single game.
Okay, I'm unofficially going to say that I've heard you use the word trust 5 or 6 times since we've been visiting. So how do you build that? How do you get that where your teammates trust you? You're right. You're a freshman point guard. You come in, you're a hot shot scorer. You know, you've got all these accolades. You're a big timer. You're a headliner. You're a ticket selling player. How do you get them to trust you?
I think a big thing is just like making sure they know you're not perfect. Like, I make mistakes, and the coaches let me know. I don't have a free pass for anything, and they know they can tell me too. So I think it's just like being honest with your teammates. Admit to when you make a mistake. Admit to when you take a bad shot. It just makes them feel better and like, oh, she knows. Okay. Like, next play, she'll get us something better. So I think that's a big one.
What are you most excited about the Big Ten race and about the teams in the Big Ten? You're coming into the league where it's a particularly balanced, really good, anybody can win sort of league.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the best league in the country for sure. So I like exciting close games. I don't like blowouts. So that's what I love about the league. Every single night, you're going to have to be on your A game if you want to win. And that's what makes it exciting. And I think that brings a lot of attention to women's basketball. So. That's what I'm excited for. We have a bunch of hard games coming up, and it just drives us and drives us to get better. So,
what has been one of your favorite things so far about dealing with the COVID, having classes online, and getting to play a lot of basketball? Like right now, you guys have been able to get a lot of extra time in the gym, a lot of practice time, a lot of film session. What have you enjoyed the most about the whole experience?
Honestly, just being able to like put extra time into my game. All my classes are online, so it's easier for me to do that rather than have to rush out of practice and be in person. And then also just like getting all the time with your teammates. Like, that's only the only thing you can really do because they're in your circle. So I think especially as a freshman and as a starting point guard, like, that's big for me, just getting to build those relationships off the court as well.
What are some of the things you guys have been doing off the court while you're sitting around? You know, you can't go to a restaurant. There's so many things that the college students are sacrificing. And quite frankly, all of us are sacrificing because of COVID. What have you enjoyed doing the most with your teammates off the court?
Yeah, we had like a Friendsgiving. So that was fun, like a Teamsgiving. We play like cards. We play board games. We watch The Bachelorette together or The Bachelor together. So that's fun. Or we just watch movies, or a lot of times we'll like turn on the men's game now that the men will be playing on different days than us. So that's always fun to watch too.
Have you learned anything from watching Luka Garza this year?
He's a workhorse. He never stops working. He never gives up. That's what I love about him when watching his game.
Is there any particular shooting drill or something that you would offer advice to a young player, like a seventh or eighth grade little Caitlin Clark that's out there that's watching you right now and wants to be the kind of player that you are?
Honestly, for shooting, like, my dad, when I was younger, he always made me stay close to the basket to start and make sure my form was good. Cause I think a lot of kids now just watch so much NBA and see Steph Curry jacking up crazy threes. But I think it's just so important to have good form and stay close to the basket. And I was always get mad at my dad cause he wouldn't let me shoot threes right when I got to the gym. I'd have to work to get back there. But other than that, honestly, ball handling, I think that's kind of a lost art sometimes. I think being able to dribble the ball is just huge. Like, it's just becoming more and more of a guard's game, and you need to be able to pass the ball, dribble the ball, and be able to score.
Caitlin, it is 100% a guard's game. Don't let anybody ever tell you anything different. And your dad right. sounds like the same dad that would tell a 10 or 11 or a 12-year-old not to be throwing a curveball. I mean, you know, right? I mean, that's what it sounds like. You sound like you have such a great family with such great faith and relationships. What do your parents mean to you?
Oh, they mean everything for sure. And it's nice that I'm only an hour 45 from home right now. So they've been at all my games, and it's just been great. Obviously, my brother's football season just ended. So our game versus Ohio State 2 days ago was the first game that my whole family was able to be at. So that was special. And it's like we were all together again since like May, because he's been up at school the whole time just because COVID, he didn't come home. So it means a lot. Obviously, they're my biggest supporters, and they've made a lot of sacrifices for me. And it's just been amazing to have them along this journey with me.
I've been calling games in college basketball for 33 years. You know, and special talents come along. You're a special talent. You've got a lot of skill. You've got obviously the heart. You've got the mental acumen for it. You've got IQ. What have you learned the most about watching film? Because I find that some players that have your skill set that have had so many experiences internationally and everything that you've done, but you really spend a lot of time watching film when you get to college. What has that been like for you?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is just sometimes I have a lot of turnovers right now. I think that's a big focus for me moving forward, is just taking care of the ball. And I'm kind of a risky player. Like, I'm going to try to make the long court fancy pass sometimes, and sometimes I can complete it, and other times it's like, no, just make the easy pass. So I think on film is just learning to take care of the ball better and make the easy pass to find open shooters or just stay safe, especially in the press break, because we've seen a lot of presses this year for sure.
What's so fascinating about playing in the era of social media is that, you know, when I look at the top recruits that are in your freshman class and I start going like Paige Beckers, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, Camilla Cardoso, I'm assuming that those top five players, including yourself, that you guys all have some sort of relationship, like you've played against each other, you know each other. What is that like when you've got just particularly those five? I mean, I could name another, you know, 50 other players, but what's your relationships like with them, and what have you learned from players at that high level? Haley Van Lith from Louisville.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was just teammates with Paige and Haley and Cameron, not this summer, but the summer before that. So I'm still good friends with them. Paige and Haley actually texted me before my first game and after my first few, like, you're killing it, keep it up. So honestly, we just all support each other, and I think that's huge for women's basketball. We don't need just one star. I think all of us understand that, and I think sometimes that gets a little distorted. Like, people think just one person is going to be the end-all, be-all. So I think it's great. Like, we all want each other to succeed, and I think that's a big thing. We're all there to support each other.
I think that's incredible. I mean, when in my day and when Lisa Bluter was playing, we didn't know anybody on the other teams. We never knew them. You know, you played them and you wanted to beat them and you moved on, and that was pretty much it. You know, this is an era where with the social media and the way college athletics is being framed moving forward, name, image, and likeness is something that is going to be a part of what you're going to get to deal with, not necessarily have to deal with, but get to deal with. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly haven't been a very vocal person on that for sure. I think it'll still be a couple more years before anything really starts happening with that. But I honestly don't have as many followers or whatnot compared to Haley and Paige. So I think it'll affect more so them, but especially down the road in a few years, I think our team will get a lot better and more attention. So I think that'll come into play more and more. And I think it'll be interesting for sure to see how that affects not only like women's basketball, just other sports and recruiting in the future. I think a lot of things could change down the road.
Caitlin, if I'm playing against you and I'm given a self-scout, right, or you're giving me your self-scout, what is one or two things that you absolutely don't want to try to take away from me? Like, you're going to try to take away, make me go left? No problem. You're going to try to cut down my window in transition? No problem. What are you thinking?
Huh. Honestly, I like my step back to my left. So if you take that away, if you make me step back to my right, I'm not as comfortable. I hope coaches don't watch this and hear this. But
oh, the whole world's going to know now. Now they all know how to break it down and take.
I still got a shot having to step back to my right, but I prefer going to my left. But other than that, I think pressuring me full court, having somebody like right there in my face, because that's when us as a team thrive. Like, we like to get out and run. So if you give anybody space to make a pass, to make a play, it's going to be hard to stop us.
That's one area where the game has changed significantly. There used to be a time when you pressured somebody up the floor, if their handle wasn't tight enough, they were going to turn it over. Now, most teams have the same attitude that you and Coach Bluter bring, is that, go ahead, press us, open up the court. We're going to pass an advanced pass. We're going to run. We're going to cut. We're going to get open threes on the backside. I mean, that's a fun style to play in, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's one of the main reasons I came here, because it's a read and react offense. It's, you just read your teammates, and it's kind of like a freelance. Just go off what your teammates are doing, set screens, draft drives, anything like that, ball screens. I think ball screens are huge. Personally, I don't like defending them, so I know when I'm on offense, that's what I want to get.
Well, everybody's going to put you in ball screen action to try to get you in foul trouble, right?
Hey, I've got better. So,
okay, let's look at ball screen from the other side. Now, teach me as a point guard. I'm not worried about the first level, the person guarding me. Teach me something I need to know about the second level.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you have to know if they're showing, flooding, whatever, whatnot, I think. And then after coming off that, if your post is open, that's kind of your first look for me, especially just because I have Monica in the post, who shoots like 80% every game, I swear. So if I can get her a layup, that's my first look. And then especially if they're flooding, I'm probably going to pull up for either a three or a mid-range shot. And then if they're going over and she's kind of trailing on me, I'm probably going to attack the rim. So those are kind of my reads. Obviously I can get away from it sometimes, but yeah, I mean, I love ball screens. And Coach Bluter likes to set them. So I think that's a great thing about our offense, especially having a great post. I think they're very versatile. So
I know Coach Bluter is going to listen to this back, so I'm just going to go and tell you this, that I don't care. I want you to shoot till your arm falls off. If you see something that you think you can get a shot off, go ahead, shoot till your arm falls off. Is that all right with you?
I agree with you, but I don't know if Coach Bluter would say the same sometimes.
Yeah, he definitely would not say the same thing. I've known her for a long time, and I don't think that's what she would say. But I do agree with you about the read and the react and how much fun it is to play that style of play. So one of the things that I say on the air is I define really good point guards by the three W's. Who to get the ball to, when, and where. If you know those three answers, you're a hell of a point guard. If you were going to break down the personnel on your team, and I'm not going to take you through like a quiz and test you on it, but do you know who's the best in transition, who's the best on a curl, who's the best off a stagger, who's a better exit cutter than they are basket cutter, things like that?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think that's a huge thing that a lot of people don't know, especially as a point guard. Like, don't put your teammates in positions where they're going to make a mistake. And I think even my high school coach preached that to me, and my AAU coach too. Like, as a point guard, that's almost your turnover, even if it counts to them. So I think that's huge. You got to know your teammates, especially as a point guard, and you're putting them in positions to score. So.
One thing more, and then I'll let you go, because I could keep you all day. You and I could go back and forth, and I hope we'll get to do this again. Yeah, sure. I love talking hoops. I'm talking to you. I got a game on. I got another game over here. I mean, I got all kinds of stuff going on myself because I am a junkie like you.
Yeah.
What is one of the things that you have admired the most about having an opportunity to play for Lisa? She's been in the game a long time. She spent her whole career in Iowa. She loves the state of Iowa and basketball and girls basketball in that state. What would you say about what an incredible ambassador she's been, or what your experience has been so far with Lisa?
It's hard to choose one thing. I think personally for me, like, just the trust she's had in me. I'm a first year point guard that starts. So I think she has a lot of trust in me, which makes me feel good on the court. Obviously I make mistakes, but she trusts me. She trusts me to make the right play. And I think that says a lot about who she is. And then I think she's done a lot for this community. I mean, we're like top 10 in attendance most years, or close to it, maybe top 15. So she's really brought this community together. They love women's basketball. They support women's basketball. And I think that's just great for the game and great for our community. So
Caitlin Clark, freshman, 25.5 points a game to be number 4 in the nation at the taping of this podcast. You've made my day because I could talk offense all day. And I appreciate you spending some time with us, Caitlin. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We'll look forward to watching you and following you down the road. Keep up the great work and keep that big smile and that infectious game going, because there's a lot of little girls watching that want to be just like you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I will.
Caitlin Clark was everything I thought she would be. Smart, humble, a great teammate, a student of the game. And I'm so pleased we got a chance to spend some time with her. So BMAC, tell me your impressions of Caitlin Clark having listened and produced this podcast.
Well, before the internet dropped on us, thank God we were able to save the podcast. You know, that's because your producer is good at saving things as he goes. Just tapping myself on the back. Anyway.
Good job. I'll tap you on the back, too.
Thank you. So, Caitlin Clark, first of all, I've never heard a freshman talk the way she talks. She talks like she's a seasoned veteran. She talked about scoring at all three levels. She talked about, she basically broke down what she does on a ball screen, how she comes off a ball screen, what she's looking for, what she sees as a point guard. And my favorite quote, this is something I'm fixing to get, I'm going to blow it up, I'm going to put it everywhere in my room. She said, she's the type of player, if she misses 5 shots in a row, she's probably still going to shoot the 6th and the 7th. Loved it.
It's a shoot till your arm falls off mentality, right? She put the time in, she put the reps in, she knows she's capable, she's not going to lose her confidence inside a 40-minute game. And I love that. That's a great sign of maturity. It's a great sign of what's ahead of us in the future of our game with players like Caitlin Clark. And there's a lot of them similar to her, not a lot exactly like her. All right, so BMAC, let's go to the hashtag Ask Antonelli. We got a couple of questions that have come in. We've asked our listeners, if you have a question, you can hit us up with hashtag Ask Antonelli, or you can go straight to my Twitter account at Debbie Antonelli. You can hit us there. Or you can go to askantonelli@gmail.com. Any of those ways, we will be glad to answer your questions.
All right. Well, one question we have here is from Corey. And she, I'm assuming it's she. It's Corey with an I. So she, it says she's been listening to the podcast and she's loved every episode so far. She's a big fan of women's basketball and has been for a lot of years. She wants to get into the ownership game in the WNBA. She wants to eventually get into that. She's almost financially to the point where she can, and she wanted to know if you had any idea on if there's an active marketplace for that. Is it just knowing the right people? Where can she potentially get shares?
Wow. Well, that's a loaded question, right? Because a franchise right now is approximately about $13.5 million is what a franchise is worth. And we only know that number right now because Mark Davis, the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, just purchased interest in, will eventually, if it gets passed by the board for the WNBA, will buy the Las Vegas Aces. Isn't that interesting how all of a sudden people are realizing that women's basketball in Vegas actually is an option? I digress because I'm not going to go there right now because I want to answer Corey's question. But it is a topic for us to discuss on the podcast coming up in the next few weeks. We will be diving into some deeper things about Vegas and about women's basketball and about the growth of our game. But for Corey's sake, Corey, if you got deep pockets and you've got millions and you want to get involved in women's basketball and you're ready to buy a WNBA franchise, I don't know if they have shares. I don't know how partnerships work. There are a couple of investment groups. If you are on Twitter, you've seen that LeBron has shown some interest in the Atlanta Dream and putting an ownership team together. If you are serious and would really like to get involved, I know a lady named Kathy Engelbert, who is the president of the WNBA, and I will be happy to connect you. So please hit me up directly. Contact me directly through this podcast or through my Twitter account or DM me. And if you send an email to askantonelli@gmail.com, we can get connected that way as well. And I will look forward to speaking to you at another level to advance this conversation, because if you're asking, we're interested too. We need people like you, fans of the sport, that want to invest back in the sport, because obviously you understand that it's a business, but it also has ample ways that it can impact a community. There's multiple ways it can impact a community. So bring it on, Corey. We love it.
Oh, we had a second email from actually from Debbie. So Debbie to Debbie. And hers dealt with, she didn't really understand how the European League works. But I know you have something that you want to do in a future episode with that.
Yeah, B-Mac. One of the best agents and one of the people that I know who's an incredible ambassador for our game. There's a lot of great agents and people out there, but a player named Tisha Panatero, if you're a fan of the game, you may have known her. She's a Wade Trophy winner. She played at Old Dominion. She had a brilliant career in Sacramento. She won a WNBA title, and she happens to represent clients and understands the international market really well. We are going to get her on this podcast at some point, and we will break it down for you so she can tell you all about how the international leagues work, how the agents work, you know, with college players and connecting them to teams overseas. You know, 30 years ago, you had to have a very high skill set to be able to go overseas and play. Now you really don't. Anyone can go over and play. It doesn't matter. Even Division III and Division II players have played overseas and become professional basketball players. So there are options. And we would love to have Tisha come on and explain all that to us. And she will be happy to do that when we can find a time that fits with all of our schedules. So stand by on that question, Debbie. We will take care of that for you with a Tisha Panatero visit to the Nothing But Net podcast. Well, another great podcast, another great listen. I hope people enjoy spending time with Caitlin Clark from Iowa. We appreciate Iowa and Caitlin for taking the time to be with us. I'd like to thank our partners. Coach Paint has been a great partner for us on the D Nelly Scout, so check that out, hashtag D Nelly Scout on your social media. Also, I want to thank Dr. Dish, my partner, who this week, based on this podcast, I got someone who asked me about purchasing a Dr. Dish. So if you mention this podcast when you call Dr. Dish or you contact them, or if you don't know how to, contact me. I will connect you with them. But you can save $300 by mentioning this podcast when you call Dr. Dish to buy your new machine. And this weekend, I'll be getting mine out in the driveway because it just feels right to get a couple shots up in mid-January in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, yes.
All right, B-Mac. So people know where to listen, subscribe, tune in. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Nothing But Net with Debbie Antonelli. We look forward to the next episode, and we don't know who our next guest is because we have so much in the hopper right now. We're not sure who's going to pop up and want to be on the show next. But we look forward to it. And thanks a lot, B-Mac. Great job. And thanks again for listening.